3-minute warning.
DFL, baby.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be official. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action non-stop. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude. Come on, go, go, go. Be official. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You ever know popcorn?
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it. They're tucked into their new beds tonight. They don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. But it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend and future owner, Manasse, harder to find than Waldo Givermadine, Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lions Den Jones, Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale, Bruce, the 13th man John Inch, Aaron, enough with a posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groove? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson? Rob, the pistol J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers, and how? Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector, Duke the Yen. Derek, the bomber boot, Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out, boys, Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless, Wormsbecker. Donna, I will admin ya, Gale. Aaron, William, the meathead freelance. Jarrett, the roadie, and Box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Leafs girl, what am I doing here, hockey? Steve, rock and roll Myers. Mike, Keeble, Cable, Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer, Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese, Lewis. Joe, I'm a like a Tulisan to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly. Salonen. Spike, I will nail you, Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator, Crump. Frank, the mascot, Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you, Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you, Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
We're the Argo cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
We're the Argo cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay!
Woo. Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. All right, so earlier, a little while ago, we got back from Ottawa. I love Ottawa. It's just, you know, the seat of power. I mean, we walked so many, my pedometer is just, like, over the moon. So happy, almost as happy as Christopher Jones with the way the game turned out for the BC Lions. Of course, if you're Serge Duvletien, you may not be as thrilled as Christopher, but that's okay, because the CFL is all about getting shellacked 1 week and doing the shellacking next week. Well, first, most importantly, of course, as an Argo fan, I must comment on the game that was played there up there in the country's capital. Yes, otherwise known as, of course, Ottawa, Ontario. And Ottawa's a fun place. I love Ottawa. I think Ottawa's wonderful. It's nice to watch that money just, you know, like that funnel you see at, you know, in ships and when they talk, you know, and watching the money just go straight to Ottawa. Well, one good thing that happened in Ottawa, there was a football game, and that football game was played between the Toronto Argonauts and, of course, our brand-new, spanking-new Ottawa Red Blacks. Steve Myers sent me a message, so let me see here. I'll answer his question, and he said to me, how was TD plays? Looks? Atmosphere? Okay, let's answer one question at a time. TD Place was awesome. It was incredible. And for any of you that follow me on Facebook, you'll notice that I did actually post some video of the excitement after the game. I have a complaint, of course. The owner was kind enough on the I'm a member of one of the, you know, Bring Ottawa Back to the CFL
groups and on Facebook, and he was kind enough to address the throng. And when he addressed the throng, he basically said, hey, thanks guys, it was wonderful, and for you beer drinkers, I'm sorry, didn't mean to hurt your feelings, make you wait 45 minutes for a beer. So he apologized for some of the things that were not working quite right. He can't be blamed for that stuff personally, other than the fact that he's the owner and decided how it will all work out before it happened. But you know what? Let's not pick on the owner because we're lucky. We truly are lucky. The guy's human, and the group of owners that are part of the conglomerate that is the Ottawa Red Black management team are entitled to make the odd mistake. But I think the glaring error that took place in Ottawa, for me, the glaring error, I had the misfortune of sitting on the north side. And I blame Serge Duvletien for that. But at the same time, though, I thank Serge for getting me in the door because it was sold out. And Serge, yes, I have your souvenir ticket. And fortunately for me, some idiot dropped his, so I have a souvenir ticket as well. And so basically it's a wonderful thing to be thinking about when you consider the fact that you go to a game as an opposing fan and you find yourself in the midst of the throng of fans that are having just a wonderful time, getting all ramped up because this is our first game, man. We're back. We're going to forget about the Renegades. We're going to forget about the Rough Riders. We're going to forget about the Gleiberman Zoo. We are now going to concentrate on the Ottawa Red Blacks and what they can do. So the answer to Steve Meyer's question as far as TD Place is concerned, there were problems. Bad decisions, I got to tell you. They're counting on the fact that it isn't filled all the time, I've got to tell you. Because on the north side, there's like 10 feet from the fence to the wall where the door is the washroom. Okay, and when you have some 12,000 people on that side of the field, it's kind of you get to know the other fans a lot more than you want to know. Now, there's a few you don't mind getting to know, you know what I'm saying? Nudge, nudge, wing, wing. But there are a few you'd rather not know. Get away from me, put on some band or something. So, it isn't as much fun when you're like a sardine trying to order a beer or get rid of one. So, it's not as much fun for you at that point. So, in fairness again to the Red Blacks, I hope they extend that fence out further where that roof is and make it a little deeper. So there's a tad more so that, it's not even a question of adding elbow room because you couldn't make an elbow. You look like, look like you're in a coffin standing up, if you follow what I'm saying, straight armed in the whole thing. Because, any elbows, no room for those. Those wasn't any room for elbows. And they were serving beer, it seemed, out of every opening that the stadium had. And speaking of openings, it was a great opening. I was extremely thrilled. And the place looks great. TD Place is awesome. And here's the thing that was unquestionable, and there is no debate whatsoever. No one can even question the fact or even consider questioning the fact that it was a wonderful event. It was a pleasure to be there. And I got to say this, even in losing, and people who think that I'm being, I am actually thrilled that I was there because it was wonderful. Even in losing, we had a chance to share for those of us that weren't rooting for the Ottawa Red Blacks and for those that were rooting for the Red Blacks to witness a great moment in Canadian football history. And that history shone very brightly in my mind because the fans had a great time. And I could not begrudge them that moment, that wonderful moment that they had that was all about basically celebrating a victory. Stormy, you hung up, buddy. You expect me to call you. And you won't let me do the beginning of the show. Look, Christopher calls in, and he's very patient. And he waits for me to get to him, and he's dying to say something. And still, he hangs in there. And you have to hang up. What's the matter? You have to go get yourself a beer? Holy crap. I mean, really? If it's going to be like that, so I answered that question. Let's see now. Okay, Stormy, I got yours. Stevie, I took care of you. There's Storm again. We got him already. Let's see, who else we got? CFL admins. Oh, I had a sticker sent me. Don't you love stickers on Facebook? Also, let's see, Rob J. Emery. Let's see what he had to say. Red Blacks all the way. Yeah, okay. Now, all the way to what? Anywhere special? Okay, I also have another announcement before I lose Storm again. We will be going network again this year. We have Rouge Radio out there in the west end of the country. We'll be picking up the program and rebroadcasting it using their special app, which will give you an opportunity to tell your friends to listen to the program as well elsewhere. I have to say this as well, that it will be fun this year because, quite frankly, the season is up for grabs. So let's start first with the patient guy, Christopher Jones, and then we'll bring in our buddy Storm Schmidt. Okay, so politics aside, are you willing to talk about the Red Blacks game against the Argos and try to at least cater down your satisfaction with the loss by the Argos and talk more about the positive aspect of the game, which is Ottawa's back, Christopher?
Well, I very rarely see any what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't know. Satisfaction in a team losing.
Oh, but this time you did.
No, not at all, actually. I was ecstatic that Ottawa won because, A, I picked them. B, it's their home opener. It meant a lot to the fans. It meant a lot to the organization. It means a lot to the league. And the way that they won it in such dramatic fashion was outstanding. It was a spectacular game in that aspect of things. It was kind of boring.
Absolutely,
overall.
And might I add, but, extremely hurtful as an Argo fan.
Yeah, I understand how that can
it
be
hurt.
Hurtful.
It was a dagger
fan,
to the heart, baby. It was a dagger to the
Schmidt happens.
Heart. Yes, it does.
Right? So, but no, I thought it was a great game. In fact, I was really kind of pleased with the turnout of all the games this week. I really think the Bombers showed their true colors. I Edmonton was a dominant force, which months ago I said they were going to be. So we'll see what happens with Calgary this week coming up. What other game played out? Calgary and Hamilton. Well, that was just a snooze festival.
Chris, it sounded like you were honking a horn. So we'll you know, I think that was probably a storm affecting your audio. Storm, the snooze fest. You want to pick up on that? Storm, it appears I'm going to be alone here tonight. Christopher, I'm going to hang you up, and then I'm going to give you a call, buddy. Because that's awful. I mean, Storm, whenever you decide to wake up or you know, flush the toilet, give me a call, or at least, you know, pick up the phone that I called you on. Okay, so you know what? We'll take a short break, and we'll organize the situation here where it seems to be a little less than stellar at this moment. And I didn't say stellar as in Stella. I said stellar. It's not the right number for Storm?
Well, now, are you sure there's any
gave
fish
me
in
a different
here at
numbers.
Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be official. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go. Woo!
Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
Well, we're still trying to work things out here. Storm has sent me a different number, apparently. The producer here, otherwise known as my lesser half, I mean better half, has advised me as such. And we'll give Storm a chance here to get in on the program, and we'll give Christopher a chance to
Storm.
Hey, Stormy, how's it going, buddy?
It's not available. At
Storm
the tone,
is not available.
Please record your message. When you have finished your recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Oh, okay.
I'm back.
I know you're back. You were a foghorn there for a second, buddy.
I was on a roll, man, and my wireless headset batteries died. I had to scramble
for
the cord, plug it in, and going, Dylan, what's going on?
when you listen to it on the playback, you're going to kill yourself laughing because you think you're one of those, you know, in the Vancouver Sound, one of those boats, you know, letting off a foghorn. That's what
BC
it sounded
ferry,
like.
When yeah, the Lions the score, the ferry foghorn goes off, eh?
Well,
sorry.
It sounded much like that. Okay. Listen, I got to give Storm another call. Where were you?
Where was I in my rant?
I wish I could play it back, but I can't.
Okay.
Hang
was
on
I still
second.
On the Red Blocks, or did I get over to Edmonton yet? Or
well, you were on the Snooze Fest. The last thing you said was Calgary Snooze Fest.
Oh, the Calgary Hamilton game.
And then Storm hung up.
He hung up again.
I don't know what's going on.
I can run the whole show for you if you want. I'll just keep going and ranting and raving and having all sorts of fun if you need.
I mean,
we don't need anybody else. We can just roll on it.
We're going to be going through some major changes in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, it is what it is. So,
I know Phyllis is listening, so.
Well, good. I'm glad Phyllis is listening. And she can fill us in on how it went.
That's Phyllis Jesperson. She's one of my awesome little admins over on Let's Talk, and she is listening on top, and I think Tangerine is as well.
Hey,
so, yeah,
hi, guys.
We have an audience.
Two of my favorite ladies.
Giving them a shout-out.
Yeah, you know, I've lost a few people that wanted to be on the air previously. Now they don't want to be anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's too bad.
I know. It just means more time for us, buddy.
We'll just find some more people.
Well, that's going to happen.
There's no shortage of CFL fans, okay? There are more
oh,
out there.
Not.
And they're just as fucking arrogant as anybody else that's been on here. So we can find new ones.
Yeah. Are you here? Storm?
I'm here, buddy.
Hey, Schmitty.
Okay.
How's it going?
Okay. Basically, he was saying the game between Hamilton and of course, your team, Calgary, was full of Schmidt.
No, it was a snooze fest.
It wasn't even full of Schmidt. It was a snooze fest.
Yes, I agree, but a win's a win.
A win's a win.
There you go. Isn't that what that Winnipeg guy said, that new coach in Winnipeg? You know, who cares how you win as long as you win, right? That's the important thing.
Well, it's like Milt Stegall said. There's no such thing as an ugly win and a pretty loss. There's wins and losses. Doesn't matter how you get them. It's a win. Just accept it for what it is.
Absolutely.
How can you argue with that?
But if Calgary plays like that against Edmonton, Calgary's going to get beat.
I think so. They would. But I don't think they will. I think they're going to – I'm betting on Calgary this week. So.
Well, I do that every game with Calgary, but, I mean, that's just my choice. But I was 4-0 last week.
Okay.
I was 4-0.
Yeah.
Schmidt, do me a favor.
Yes.
Yep. Give me your take on the game in Ottawa. First of all, let's talk about the answers to the question about what the stadium looked like, what did the atmosphere sound like, and then we'll talk about the game. Football back in Ottawa, in your opinion?
I love it. Like, I got goosebumps watching the game, actually, because it's nice to have another Canadian team back in the CFL, and even though that's the third time over, but... And, of course, I'm a Burrs fan and stuff like that. I was pumped for that game. I was really pumped up for that game. The score, like, there were so many scores this weekend that were just, like, blown out of the water, right? I just didn't expect it. But anyways, no, I like the atmosphere in Ottawa. It's great. It's absolutely great.
Okay. I want to touch something that just Schmidt just said here, Storm just said, Frank. He said it's the third time back for Ottawa. And I don't know how fair that really is. I mean, it's the third time for Montreal. Saskatchewan's gone bankrupt twice. BC Lions have gone bankrupt three times. Calgary's gone bankrupt twice. We didn't lose the team, fortunately. We had a godfather that came in and saved us and saved Calgary and saved Montreal, disappeared, went all over the place. So, you know, we have to give Ottawa another chance.
Well,
but
is it really about giving it another chance, or
no?
You know,
it's finding
getting,
good owners.
Getting, no kidding. I think it's more about, you know, the team, you know, getting an opportunity to succeed as opposed to being set up to fail.
Exactly.
right?
Well, exactly. But then you can look at people in Halifax that are like, okay, you gave Ottawa three chances, and why can't you give us a chance? So,
well, because I don't think there's a fan base in the Maritimes to support it.
I know. I understand that. But, you know, what do you know, like how many times do you give a team, okay, you don't want to say chance,
Schmitty, I think we said the reason. The reason is that the league made a bad decision in giving Gleiberman's keys to Ottawa. They turned it into a circus.
Well, exactly. I understand that. Like you said, was like, you know, bankrupt, Lisa didn't lose the team, bankrupt didn't lose the team, and then, you know what I mean? It's, I don't know. I think we need one more team in the CFL, and everything would be great.
Well, I think that goes without saying. I think you'll get most people to agree that, you know, it's going to be either in Quebec City or it's going to be on the East Coast. I've stated publicly my preferences for the East Coast just because it would make it, you know, coast to coast. You know, we can't go any further west than BC, and we can go further west than Montreal.
It makes sense for it to be the Maritimes. It really does.
But it may
but
not be realistic.
There's lots of negatives to it.
Yeah,
you
it may not be realistic.
There isn't a fan base in any one particular city, and they're not close enough that they can draw from all of them. Okay, there really isn't a stadium yet, and that's not that bad of a problem. But it's also the highest costing for travel anywhere in Canada is to go to the Maritimes. Okay, so you're asking all of the other teams in here to elevate their travel budget because we're going to put a team in Halifax. It would greatly reduce their travel budget by putting the team in Quebec City. So, you know, I'm not against one or the other. In fact, I'd like to see both. But that's the main drawback I see for Halifax or Moncton.
But all teams go through that travel though, right? Every team has the same basically travel as the other team.
Well, of
you
course
guys
they
got,
do.
Yeah, so it's. I mean, I don't think travel would be the problem. I don't think money-wise.
Well, it's going to cost Halifax more money to travel than it's going to, say, cost Toronto to travel. Because regardless of where you're going in Canada, there's a direct flight for Toronto. You can't get to Halifax from anywhere.
Yeah, I understand that. I know what you mean there.
Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of, profit sharing, okay? I'm not a big fan of profit sharing, but I think it's time for the CFL with this TSN contract they have to have expense sharing. And by that I mean maybe the expenses to offset the expenses in the eastern part of Canada. If it's, you know, prohibitively, and Christopher could be right or wrong, you know, decide. And if he's right, then, you know, there should be, the league should take care of travel costs, and that money should come out of TSN contract. Make it
interesting
fair
concept, Frank.
I'm just saying, it's just, I don't believe in this equalization stuff, you know, payments, and I don't believe in this profit sharing thing, because I'm a firm believer that if you make a profit, there's a good chance you're making a profit because you know what you're doing, you know, and you're doing something right. And why should you give money to people who don't know how to do stuff? Or Schmidt. You know?
That's right.
So, but when it comes to expenses and leveling the playing field, ha, 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 football playing field, 110 yards, you know, it wouldn't hurt so much in creating a sort of a budget for the teams and controlling the costs for each team to travel equally. And I think that's, you know, that's something the league should look into if that is an issue, you know. I mean, you know, I think it's fair, and I think it's wonderful, and you know, we're not all going to agree on this, but I think it's great that Saskatchewan makes so much money hand over fist. Good for them. There's going to come a
good
time when they won't, right? There's going to come a time when they won't, and when they don't,
there's been times where they didn't.
Exactly.
Everything was like that, though.
I know, but it usually goes through on a time when there's either a mismanagement involved or a misownership involved. And let's make it more difficult for bad owners to hang around is what I say. That's where I'm.
Well, I think that that's what Mark Cohen has done. Okay,
and then good for
if
him.
Anything,
if
anything, we thought ourselves a good commish. Okay. And I think
I agree with Frank.
That's one
with
of the good things that's happening.
I agree with Frank with the ownership, because look at that for Turk or whatever it was for Calgary there. Like, he almost like made the team dead. Like, you know, he was just brutal.
Yeah, we got to make it hard for bad owners to exist. We have to we have to make it difficult for bad owners to not want to turn the keys over. Throw them on the desk,
walk away,
get lost, don't need you, don't want you. As a guy I know always said, been there, done that, and I have the T-shirt and don't want to wear it.
Been there, done it, seen it, tried it, got the T-shirt.
There you go, and don't want to wear it either. So, you know,
but you know, it's the same thing happened in BC. We had Murray Pezum, we had Nelson Scalbania, we had Bill Comrie. They all tossed the keys on the desk and walked away. You know,
and good.
We can't have people like that.
Well, listen.
People that don't know anything about football shouldn't be in the freaking league. Period.
Or to be clear, we're not trying to insult the people that own the teams that fail. We're just saying that if you fail, maybe you should move on to something else. There's nothing wrong.
Exactly. I mean,
these are all businessmen that are successful, or they wouldn't have the money to put down for the team,
right? Exactly.
So there's nothing wrong with these people outside of football. And Schmidt, you said it right. If they don't understand how to make a football team successful, we ain't going to help you. You're on your own. You know, the rest of the teams, like even with the Argos, my team, the Argos, right? If ownership is bananas and can't make it work, let's figure out a way to get rid of them. Now, here's the problem in Toronto, and this is something people argue. There are no other people who are willing to own the team. So, you know, in this case, any owner's a good owner, right? So, you know, there's that as well. I just, you know, just putting it out there, folks, as football fans, CFL football fans, it seems like the three of us, or four of us now, we have someone else in the Rob J. Emery. You know, as far as everything's concerned, we all agree on one thing, and that is it takes a certain type of ownership not only to own a CFL team, but to make it successful, which ultimately is fans, and that's who we are, right, guys? We're not guys who are paid to promote the league for the benefit of the league. We're here to promote the experience of being a CFL fan. And as a CFL fan, and as a CFL fan.
You're not getting paid?
No. And as CFL fans, no, I pay. It's the other way around. I do this because I love the league. I do this because I love my team. I do this because I believe in the league. And in that belief of the league, I also have expectations, and I expect owners to be successful in their ownership experience. If they are not, move on, give someone else the keys. You know, this is what I like to call the 50 years of being living in Toronto and being a hockey fan and being stuck with the Maple Leafs. It would really be nice after 5 or 10 years, when the ownership sucks, that they're forced to throw the keys on the table and give someone else a chance, someone that might turn it into a winner.
You can't turn the Maple Leafs into a winner. You can have the best ownership in the whole world.
All I was trying to say is that I disagree with that statement, Storm. There are winners and losers in the world.
That's why I said laugh out loud.
Yeah,
well,
there are winners
and
there are
losers. The Maple Leafs are a winning franchise, just not on the scoreboard.
They were a winning franchise when they had Podvay and goalie. They had, all the good players.
Wendell Clark.
It doesn't matter if they win
Clark
the game or not. They're making money hand over fist.
As long as there's no competition in the Southern, there's enough competition. There's enough prospective clients and money in Southern Ontario that it dwarfs what New York can do, what LA can do, what any other city in the U.S. can do.
It really doesn't matter if they win or lose.
No, it doesn't. I mean, when you have a monopoly that has no responsibility or accountability, you can make a lot of money. You don't deserve it, you know, but you can make a lot of money. You know, that's just...
And they do.
But when I talk like this, it guarantees me no opportunity to make it in sports, radio or television, because, quite frankly, I just talk bad about the main proponents of sports in this community, and that would be TSN and Sportsnet and company. So, you know, it is not fair. How Maple Leaf fans are treated. And that is the root, so that we can take this back to why I said that, is that in the CFL, ownership is as important as a Canadian lineman, you know? If you don't have the right ownership or a quarterback, if you don't have the right ownership or a good Canadian content on your team or a great quarterback like a Ricky Ray or a Burris or Watt Willie or anyone else that's out there that you consider a great quarterback, without that,
Willie?
Your team, your
league. Did
you
really just say that?
Willie.
Did you say Willie or Willie? Willie?
I said Willie. Listen, just because you have a team with no quarterback, Bull Levi Mitchell, you wanted me to mention him. Okay, I'll mention him. All right.
I don't have a quarterback. What are you talking about? We had our fourth stringer in the other night, and we still destroyed them.
We'll talk about that, but first, let's finish with Ottawa now that we have our buddy, Mr. Red Black himself.
Robbie J. Emery. Good evening.
What's up, guys?
This is a guy who can't afford to pay for a $10 beer or a $20 ticket.
And he wouldn't go to the game. I can't believe he didn't go to the
game.
I can't believe you didn't go to the game.
You know what? I cannot believe it. Listen, I had money to go to buy a ticket, do whatever. But you know what? It was a lot easier and a lot cheaper for me to go to the beer store, buy a 24, come back to my place, sit in my living room, where I'm relaxed and watch the game on TV.
You missed a monumental experience.
It's a moment in history, buddy.
It was the first game ever.
I got it on tape.
You can tell your kids that you were there.
But you weren't there.
I was there. I was watching it on my flat screen.
Yeah, but you
like
weren't.
I was right there at the game.
Mr. Emery, what I find totally irritating is that the next day you're at the soccer game.
Yeah.
That
really?
I find irritating.
It was funny because one of my friends said, I got a couple things to soccer. You want to go? I'm like, yeah, okay. Halftime, I'm like, I'm fucking half asleep.
Nice guy. You get free tickets and then you slag the Fury. Great. Great.
I have no response. None.
That's okay. I got it. I got this, Christopher. I got this.
Please. Please.
Well, I am totally, listen, Rob, a case of beer, you drink it, you find a washroom, you get rid of it, and all you got to remember is the hangover. You missed going to a game, and I'm very disappointed. I'm not disappointed of you, but I am disappointed for you because, you know, you missed a great opportunity. And let me say this.
Yeah,
it was a decision you made for the right reasons. You made them for your reasons, and they're good enough. Your reasons are good enough. Okay, let's be honest here.
Here's another reason, Franco, my friend. If I would have got the ticket from you, I would have gave you $20 or whatever for the ticket.
Right.
28 plus taxes.
Where would I be sitting?
Does it matter?
I had the privilege, and I want to make this abundantly clear. I was sitting below the Prime Minister of Canada with SWAT team sniper rifles pointed at me while he spilled beer on me.
Yeah, but you were sitting in the Argonaut section, right?
No, listen. I'm going to tell everybody a secret. Are you ready, folks? Here's the deal. If you buy a ticket in the North End, it's $20 in the nosebleeds. You walk down the stairs. You walk down the circular stairs, but they're not circular stairs. You walk all the way down the stairs, and you walk down to ground level. And where there was all that, seed that looked like it's going to be grass someday, or it looked like it was painted grass, you walk across that thing there, you're allowed to walk out. You walk out to the south end, and then you walk out to the south end, and they have a standing room area, which is awesome, with a table behind the lower bowl. And you watch the football game from there. Tickets that are around, and I have one because some idiot dropped it. I have a $90 ticket. It was $99 for those tickets. And I stood there and watched the game from that very location, from some maybe 50 feet, 60 feet from the field. So,
crap,
cool.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, buddy, these are not secrets I'm telling. These are experts like myself who are cheap and refuse to spend major money on a game. So while I criticize you, Robbie, I understand you. And I'm not going to say sympathize with you, but I do understand you. And I do actually sympathize with you because, quite frankly, it can be expensive to go to a sporting event. But on a day like that, I have to agree with Christopher 100%. You missed a grand opportunity because even as an Argo fan, sitting there in the middle of that drone of excitement, and by drone I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean, as everyone knows, when a fan base is excited for a first game, there's a hum in the crowd that doesn't stop. The excitement is exhilarating.
It would have been epic. It would have been epic.
It was, Christopher. It was 100% epic. I totally enjoyed the game. I did not enjoy the way it ended, but I did enjoy it for the fans.
Man.
And I gotta say, and I gotta say this: it is a small price to pay to watch a city that has been hungering for the CFL, like many other places do, to have a wonderful moment like that in their first home game. I mean, it's a classic moment, and you're right. It's epic. And all I'm saying, my friend Rob J. Emery, is you missed a great opportunity to experience fellow Ottawans, and I think it's Ottawans. What are, my wife and daughters, we were discussing.
Ontonians.
What do you call? What is it?
I don't know. I'm just making this
shit
up.
In Halifax, they're Haligonians. So, like, you know, it could be a lot of things. But I'll say Ottawans as sort of my way of saying people from Ottawa.
In
is
Vancouver,
that what called,
we're Southeast
you know what
Asians.
What's that? Ottawans?
Well, what do you call people from Ottawa? Other than people from Ottawa. What do you call?
I think it's Ottawans. I don't know. I have no idea.
It sounds good, doesn't it?
Sounds weird, though, but...
I'll Google it.
We call them the rough.
Please Google it and let us know.
The rough
ends around. Regardless. It was a wonderful moment, and I'm glad I shared it with all the other fellow Ottawa fans, fellow and female, well, again, is there a word for that? There were children there who of like one or two, three, four, five, blowing the horns, you know, and they will be able to say, you know, thanks to their parents, that they were there that wonderful day when Ottawa came back to the CFL. And they came back in a storm, and they defeated the Toronto Argonauts in what can only be described as style. They did it in such style. And, you know, Henry Burris, whom we slag with interceptions, I think he didn't throw a single one that day.
And he
did a great job.
Go ahead. The thing that really got me is Ottawa had, I don't know, two or three turnovers, like interception or fumble. They didn't even compromise. They didn't make it happen. They like one, two, time to punt. One, two, time to punt. It's a turnover, you know.
Hang on a second. I'm not sure they even punted the ball once. I think they got a field goal in every possession. That was my beef, the Argos.
Yeah, well, you know when
how do you win a game with six field goals?
You tell them, Chris. CFL
seriously.
That's exactly what happened.
You play Toronto.
That was my line. That was my line.
Ottawa with an NS at the end, Frank.
But anyway,
Ottawans.
Ottawans.
But anyway, I want to get back to Frank's and Emery's comment about the going to the football game. I agree with both of them too. You know, this way, that way, sort of thing. But you know, I look forward to two games in Edmonton every year that play against Calgary. And I'm going this Thursday. I paid $72 for my ticket. And I don't really care who cheers for me. I'm just going to cheer and I'm going to wear my colors. I agree with that part. But the other part I agree with, you know, just grabbing a case of beer and, you know, watching at home too. So I just want to put my 2 cents in. So.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah,
lot
there's
easier,
not...
Lot...
It does get expensive.
I get it. I honestly get it. But then again, what Christopher and I are saying, and this is all we're saying, this is not a weekly game we're talking about. This is not a monthly game we're talking about.
Exactly.
This isn't even a season game we're talking about. We're talking
once
about
once in a lifetime.
Well, once in
once
this
in
team's
lifetime.
once in this team's lifetime, at least, anyway, at the very least. And if it is a success and goes on and never leaves the CFL again, this will become a day, you know, a memorable day for everyone involved. And I'm able to say that I was there, and I was thrilled with being there. And to listen to the fans and the excitement, right from the moment I stepped into the stadium, the excitement was palpable. It was incredible. It was awesome. And to see Tony Gabriel, and I got to tell you, one of my favorite Ottawa players, he was out there. He was a kid again. And he was out on that field. Like most of the guys that were introduced, there were five or six introduced, including Russ Jackson. They jumped on the field and jumped off the field. You know what I'm saying? Like they jumped on the field and they jumped off the field. Gabriel, I think he ran the full 110 yards twice back and forth. He was, you know, when I was a much younger lad, I had a chance to hook up with my old boss because I moved to Ottawa and I worked at a place called Fat Albert's. And, and I had a chance to talk to Ralph, the owner of Fat Albert's, and we were discussing stuff. And Tony Gabriel used to come into my sub shop, and he used to a carload of Italians would get out of the car, and he would order like 6-7 subs, and I would serve him the 6-7 subs. And we're talking about going back into the 70s. Big moment for me to meet Tony Gabriel, one of the greatest players in CFL history. So therefore, me coming back and going, I dragged my family to the old restaurant, the new location, I must admit, where I grew up as a man, where the first time where I really felt like I accomplished something in my life, managed his restaurants, two of them, and I was only 19. So you know, it was a great memory for me to go back to Ottawa and to visit the Ottawans. And you know, I never got a chance to meet my a friend that I made, a gal that I made. She became, I turned her down, and she became Miss Ottawa to show you what kind of taste and what kind of sense Frank has.
You blew
it right out of the water, baby. And I think her name was Anna. And you know what? It was such a nice revisit in Ottawa, bringing my kids and my wife to that place and to take them
especially
to the restaurant.
Parliament building.
And of course, we went to the. And my kids were genuinely enthusiastic about visiting the Parliament buildings. And what blew them away, you know, going to Ottawa, it was all part of the experience. They have a light show every night. It starts at about at dark, and it's amazing. Yep. If you get a chance to go to Ottawa,
it's a special city.
It is. And to have it not in the CFL is just a crime. There's no other way to describe it. It was a crime to not have it in the CFL. Thank you to, you know, the ownership in Ottawa, Jeff Hunt, of course, who took the time to one of the Facebook groups that I'm a part of. He posted in there, and there were 150 comments within a couple of hours, you know, thanking him for what he and the people, well, they weren't thanking anyone else, they're just thanking him. But if they knew that there's more to the ownership than Jeff Hunt, they would thank him and everyone else. They've done a marvelous job, and I really am so happy to have them back in the family because they are part of the family. And in closing, guys, that's what I'm going to say, and you're more than welcome, gentlemen, to closing comments on the CFL's return to Ottawa. Anything we left out in your opinion? I'll start with you, Rob. Did we forget anything other than a second case of beer?
No. It's no. Everything.
How about you, Schmitty? How about you, Schmitty?
The only words I have is Ottawa's in first place.
That's what I like to hear.
And they deserve to be there this time. It was not just by a bye week.
Yeah. Well, it's cool, eh? They didn't win a game. They were in first. They win one game. They're in first games into the season. In the fourth
week,
they're in first after winning a game. They won a game, and they're in first.
But all you guys on the panel here, you got to admit it's been a strange year.
Hamilton hasn't even won a game yet.
Well, they will. Schmidt, how many games do we have to wait before we start getting concerned if you're Hamilton? Give us the number.
Five,
right?
Like I said, since
there
the
you
beginning.
Go. There you go.
Well,
and that's all.
Burris and them are all going back out there this Saturday, so we'll have to see what Burris and Chevy can do out there, you know?
So will we leave it there for as far as Ottawa is concerned? The experience in Ottawa, the weekend that was the weekend in Ottawa, the weekend that was the return of the CFL to Ottawa, the return to... the glory years that Ottawa had back in the 70s, 60s, the 80s and 90s, not so much. That pretty much concludes our conversation about the Ottawa experience when it comes to the CFL. Oh, Christopher, you didn't get a chance. Did you want to add anything, bud?
No, I'm good. I'm just ecstatic that it happened. I'm like, Jeff Hunt's done a wonderful job. They put the wonderful team together. The league set them up for success, and they're here to stay. And
good.
I'm just ecstatic that we got to have a game that they won their first game. That was just epic.
Yeah,
regardless
completely.
Of who they won. I would have been happy if they beat the Lions, okay? So I'm not down on Toronto
for
this.
Oh, please.
I just think that it was really wonderful that Ottawa
please,
won.
Please, Christopher, you're not as big a man as I am. Only I would admit and say that I enjoyed the loss. You would never be able to do that. Who are you kidding?
Of course I would.
Really? Of course I would.
That's really?
Like me. Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
I,
like me
really?
Saying,
it was a wonderful thing for the people of Ottawa. It was a wonderful thing for that to happen, yes. I don't care who they won.
Okay.
Who they beat.
Okay.
I mean, he's not going to win every game.
I'm good with it. Okay, listen, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the other three games that took place in the CFL. Oh, God, we're going to have to talk about BC beating Montreal. Serge, where are you, buddy? You got to help me out here because we can't have Chris Topp brag all about what happened and how his team did a great job against your Montreal Alouettes. All right, when we come back after this, we're going to talk the other three games. Ottawa, thumbs up to you, your city, your ownership, your team, and that beautiful stadium known as TD Place.
This is the League of A's and BC's. It's green and red and gold and black and blue. This is a league with two official languages and many unofficial languages. It's East versus West, wheat versus iron, love versus hate. This is a league where superstars are extraordinary and ordinary at the same time. It's a league of ice, of fog, of mud and wind. And for one Sunday in November, it's the nation's glue. This is a league as diverse as a country. A league of Jacksons and Kwongs, Johnsons, Moscas, O'Shea's, and Haji Razulis. This is his league. His league. Her league. Their league. And their league. It's my league. And it's your league. This is our league.
Yeah, baby. The CFL is what it's all about. We go to the game. We cheer our team. Win or lose, they're our team. All right, let's talk about the win or lose portion of this program. And let's see, Bruce John Inch, why don't you want me to call you? Why don't you be on the show? What's going on? Why do these people not want to be on the show? It's probably me or Christopher. I think we've done something wrong, and we've irritated people to the point where they're not willing to be on the program because... Well, maybe I'm just challenging them a little bit. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the CFL. If you're a big fan of the CFL, you can give us a call at 714-242-5250. 714-242-5250. And we're going to talk now about the other three games of less importance based solely on the fact that the CFL is, and let me remind you of this, the greatest football in the world. And
the word's best.
CFL's best in the world, yes. And it's fair to say that I'm a true blue Argo lifer. And it's also fair to say that Christopher can't stop talking CFL. That's why he always says to me, let's talk CFL. And, of
let's
course... And of course, being a guy who lives in the lion's den with two lovely ladies, Tangerine Dream and Miss Jesperson, And, of course, more plugs. You know, bring football back to Ottawa, which is now kind of, you know, it's kind of old news. It's back. And I think it came back in a hurry. And now where we're at, we are at the point now where, my goodness, we're at the point now where we're actually thinking about expanding again. And I like that idea, and I think the Ottawa experience is you know, in the trusted hands of, as Christopher has said, the ownership of the league is in pretty good shape. You know, the management of the league under McDonald's Jr. Is not doing too bad either, not too shabby. You know, that's doing pretty good. He's doing a pretty good job. Daddy'd be proud of him. And, of course, I'm referring to Mr. Cohan, the younger one. The older one has since retired from, you know, bringing McDonald's to Canada. And, of course, the younger one spent some time in the NBA with Gary Bettman, so I'm just wondering what kind of bad habits he picked up while he was there. So, you know, it's the CFL's in, and I think they're in a good place. You know, this issue with the Argos having a decent ownership committed to the team, if I may get on this little rant, I've arrived at the conclusion that the problem with the Toronto Argonauts right now is ownership. Not the guy that owns the team, but the fact that nobody owns the team that really wants to own the team. And how can – Christopher, I ask you this question. He owns your team as well. How can the fans be interested in supporting a team that the owner doesn't even want? You know what I'm saying?
That's a
you hear
tough
what
question.
I'm saying?
And you know what? I you know what? I don't. I disagree with you. I really.
But you
do.
Can disagree with me. That's okay.
I don't think David Braley does not want to own the Toronto Argonauts. I just don't think that that's his passion.
Exactly.
Okay, so
how can
BC
how
Lions
can the
are
fans,
BC Lions are not his passion?
How can the fans
okay, so,
have the passion for the team that he does that he owns that doesn't he
well,
doesn't have a passion for?
But look at BC. He doesn't have a passion for this team out here either.
Oh, yes,
let's
he does.
Let's face it.
Oh, yes,
no,
he does.
No, let's face it. The man is a Hamilton Tiger Cats fan through and through. There's no doubt in his mind. He would own the Hamilton Tiger Cats right now if he didn't own the BC Lions when they came up for sale.
Hey, listen, if you love pussy, it
he
doesn't matter whether
the
it's
Tiger
on the West
Cats.
Coast or the East Coast.
Yeah. He owning the BC Lions is an inconvenience for him.
No, it's not.
Okay.
He loves
well, of
owning.
It is.
He loves owning the BC Lions.
He loves the CFL. He would
and
own
he loves
all
the
teams.
BC Lions. If you're
well, of
suggesting,
course he does. And he loves the Toronto Argonauts.
Nah, not as much.
So
as listen, let's
he does.
Be clear.
If he
let's
did,
be clear.
If he didn't love the Toronto Argonauts, he wouldn't be dropping $5 million a year on them.
Well, wait. Hang on a second. Again, I don't want to get into the economic debate here. Let's not get into the economic debate. Let's get into the debate
well,
about fact. Listen, the fact remains, as an Argo fan, I don't think he wants to own the Argos. Oh, wait. Hang on a second. He said that.
Well, of course. He's also said he doesn't want to own the BC Lions.
But the point I'm making is that if the owner doesn't want to own the team – what kind of draw is that for the fans to be a partner in that relationship?
He's got nothing to do with the owners. He's a caretaker.
Oh, you, I understand
you either
that.
You either love your team or you don't. If you cannot get behind your team, if Sask owns
and
them,
exactly.
It doesn't really matter.
And if the ownership isn't behind the team, how can the fans be behind the team?
Because it's your team.
I'm just putting this
and
out
if you
there.
Don't understand
I'm, not,
that,
I'm
then
being
we
the
have
devil's
no
advocate here.
No,
I'm
I agree with you, Frank.
You know, I'm just being the devil's advocate here, Christopher. I'm not trying to slag Mr. Braley because I have all the respect in the world for him because there would be no Argos. There would be no Argos without him.
Argo fans or Toronto as a whole as Argo fans
we're talking about
or
the
lack
sales
thereof.
Here's I'm talking about the sales pitch. I'm talking about the sales pitch that is the Toronto Argonauts. That is the front office. That is the message that's out there. Let me flip it on its head here and show you exactly why I'm saying what I'm saying. And this weekend in particular brought it to my attention. Ottawa is committed from ownership to the city financially and emotionally. Whereas in Toronto, it isn't financially committed to the team. There is no financial commitment to the team. They don't have a stadium that we all know is not appropriate. We've convinced ourselves that the Sky Dome is not – I'm sorry, Rogers. I apologize. The Sky Dome, otherwise known as the Rogers Center, is not appropriate for the CFL. We've convinced ourselves that it is not a CFL stadium. We've polled everybody. We've bragged about the fact that the Sky Dome, Rogers Center, is inappropriate for a CFL game. Why would I want to go there if I'm an outsider? I hope you're beginning to understand my point. My point is we have spent so much time here in Toronto telling everybody how rotten an experience it is to go to the Sky Dome, how rotten an experience it is to support a team that the owner doesn't even want that's trying to sell. How the hell do you convince people to show up? You know, people are sheep. They go where others go. And if you're telling the sheep, nobody wants to be around here, they're not coming. That explains to me why we're having a problem here. And it bothers me to no end because I love going to the Sky Dome, otherwise known as the Rogers Center, to watch a football game. I don't have a problem with it. My problem is turning around and seeing all the empty seats. That's the part that bothers me. It isn't the stadium. It isn't the sight lines. It isn't any of those other BS excuses. It's because nobody cares or wants to be a part of the CFL in Toronto the way I do. That's what I find irritating. It pisses me off. And I'm sick and tired of people making excuses as to why the crowd is getting smaller and smaller. Folks, the owner doesn't want the team. We're playing in a place that everybody's telling you sucks. Who the hell's going to go? Not me. Wait. I will, because I've been there and I know
you're
what
on a rant
like.
Here.
So bad.
And you're a lifer.
And I'm done. And I'm done. And I'm done my rant.
But I think that you're right on most of the issues in there, except for your part about the owner not wanting to be there. Why would I go to the games? It has nothing to do with the owner.
You don't think there's a connection?
I think that your media has drilled it into the heads of these people that Rogers Center or Sky Dome or whatever is a bad experience, that the Toronto don't deserve a team, whatever else. I agree with you there. The media is to blame here. 100% it's the media.
It isn't.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with playing at the Rogers Center. You know why I know that? You know how I know that? I was at the 100th Grey Cup. It wasn't that bad a place to watch a football game.
No, when it's full.
Well, exactly. That's the problem.
But it's not a bad place to be when it's not full. You go to BC Place, okay? I was at BC Place this weekend, okay? I was there.
Right.
It was a great game.
How many were there? How many
25,000 people showed up.
And how many does it normally hold? How many can it hold?
Close to 60.
Right. And how do they hide the fact that there are 35,000 empty seats?
Mm-hmm. They don't hide it. We don't care. We're there to watch football. Exactly. The only thing that matters is what's on the field. It doesn't matter who's in the stands. I don't care if there's empty seats in that thing. I'm there to watch my team play football. And if I was there by myself, I would be having fun.
My point. I think that's what I was saying. We agree. But why is it okay in BC to have 35,000 empty seats? And not to have 35,000, because it's a smaller stadium, of course. The Sky Dome only holds some 50 and change. We can have 10,000 less. You know, we can have 15,000 and still have 35,000 empty seats. And still, it's not okay. Why is that? Because we're told it is. Because it's the media. It's the media, and it's the hysteria surrounding
the
argument.
It's the arrogance of the Toronto community.
The arrogance of the media and the people who think that we're better than that.
Of the atmosphere of Toronto.
Absolutely.
You know, they all think they're the center of the universe and that this is God's gift to Canada and yada, 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 and the Toronto Argonauts
Network that supports the league and makes it work.
Okay, well, can we talk about Edmonton here? They got what do they hold, 60,000 people? Look what they had in their first two games.
How many?
They had the first game, I believe, was 29,000, and the next game was just over 30.
First game was 30,714.
Yeah, that was close.
And the second game was 31,521.
Yeah, so look, how many they hold? They hold, what, 58,000 there, 60,000?
Who cares about the
Seattle's really good, Jay.
No, but you could put those, you could put Edmonton in the same market as Toronto and BC.
Yeah.
As fan-wise, I'm saying.
Yeah. And is it a problem in Edmonton? No. Is it a problem in BC? No. Is it a problem in Toronto? Yes.
Yes. We all have the same size stadium, yet in week three, Calgary came to Toronto and there were 16,000 people. In week two, Saskatchewan came to Toronto and there were 17,000 people.
18 or 20, whatever.
17,758.
Yeah, is what they're saying. Good. And okay. that's all my point is. It's all about spin. You know, they're not going to the media cannot shame the fans in Toronto into showing up because if nothing else, we know about the sporting market in Toronto. You can't shame people into not showing up. Look at the Leafs.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about shame.
It's all about perception here. And the
totally
media needs
about
to
perception.
Get behind the Argos and perceive. So unless MLSE purchases the Argos, I'm not sure that's going to change.
Well, I think it's quite easily, let's stop. Like, I think it's time to stop giving corporations the power over us, okay? And here's how I'm going to frame it for you, if I can, Christopher. BMO Field is not owned by MLSE. Do we understand that? Do we understand
yes.
that, ladies and gentlemen who are listening? All right? It's not owned by MLSE. It is a stadium that they're allowed to use, and they're asking if they can, spend some money to make it better for whatever reason, right? As an investment for their own benefit, right? The money that the MLSE is putting into the BMO is for their own benefit. It's not like, taxpayers, are going to benefit because MLSE pours money into BMO. They're not going to benefit from that at all, So it's all about self-aggrandizement as far as corporations are concerned. There's nothing stopping from the government from saying, you know what, MLSE, you're owned by Rogers. Rogers, you're kicking them out of the Sky Dome. The original home of the Sky Dome was intended to be an Argo home. You want them to leave? Well, we got to find them another home. You're a partner with TSN. Give us a couple of bucks, and we'll let you kick them out of the Sky Dome, out of the Rogers Center. And we'll put them inside BMO. Oh, sorry, soccer fans. It's not your stadium. It belongs to the city. And we're not building another stadium. So, as the old saying, eat Schmidt and die if you don't like it, Just tough luck. Tough luck. We're moving the Argos in there. We're going to turn it into a football stadium.
I think
stadium
that's what's going to happen, Frank.
Yeah.
And if you listen
to
Mark Cohan when he was talking on Sportsnet about the terrible report that Sportsnet that had. Mark Cohan just basically plain and simple says that the Argos are going to BMO. And whether they have to find a private partner to kick in
whether
the extra $10 million for
not.
The rental.
Whether MLSE owns them or not.
They don't care
not.
Who it is. They're going to BMO.
That's where they're going. It's not up to MLSE.
Going.
It's not up to, any other.
It's not them to say no.
No.
They don't have the right.
No. And the whole point of spending the money on improving the stadium, they're being given some money by the government to improve the stadium because of the 2015 Pan American Games, which happens to be the same reason why Hamilton eventually, I hear sometime soon,
maybe.
Will have a stadium, maybe, that people can come and sit in.
Maybe.
It's the whole same reason. So let's stop the BS. Corporations are corporations. They're just money-grubbing organizations that are figuring out ways to not spend money and make a profit. Big deal. It's what they do. That's how they live. Federal government, provincial government, city government, they're in the position here in Toronto where they like saying no to corporations as far as, sports are concerned. This is not something that started last week. We are city governments, provincial governments, not so much. Federal governments, not so much, even less. But the city government here hates giving corporations money when it comes to sports. They would rather throw up than give money to corporations. They'll do anything not to. So, that's the one good thing we've got on our side, as taxpayers. Which somebody mentioned to me It was a good point that was made to me on the weekend. We were talking about this. And you notice we're not citizens anymore. We're taxpayers. We used to be citizens. Now we're taxpayers. What does that tell you?
I don't know. I'm white. I'm minority.
No, that's nothing.
I'm kidding.
It has nothing to do with racism. The point this guy made with me, we refer to people now who live in the city or live in the country as taxpayers, not as citizens. In other words, we're just pigs in a poke. We are not citizens anymore. We are taxpayers. In other words, we are the golden sheep. The golden goose. We're just here to produce golden eggs for people who want them, And that's sad. That's a sad commentary on our society today. We are citizens. And as citizens of this great city in Toronto and in the greater Toronto area in the province of Ontario, which I happen to think Hamilton and Toronto are a big part of, as is Ottawa. Ottawa shares also, because it's by town, which means, it's Hull, Ottawa, which means Quebec's in there too. It is part of our community, and the Canadian Football League is a part of our fabric of community. And I'm sick and tired of listening to this BS about the Sky Dome belongs to Rogers, BMO belongs to MLSE. I mean,
but it doesn't.
I know, but they do. That's the problem with what we have today, is that the community has no control or any say and what happens in their world. And we don't, in Toronto, more than any other city in Canada, we have less say because of the corporate stranglehold that is on this city. And those leftists that are talked about at council, as much as people like to portray them as idiots and morons and anti-business people, they are pro-people, which makes them anti-business. And that's the problem with business, is business doesn't consider people at all for a second. If they did, Rogers would not have the temerity to suggest that they're kicking out the Toronto Argonauts, for whom which that stadium was built, as much as it was for the Blue Jays. And that's another rant of mine, but I'm sorry. You don't hear that kind of stuff. You're not going to hear this kind of stuff, because this is the kind of stuff that if anybody says it who has any kind of radio signal going on, they ain't going to have a job in the business. Because the media controls what we have to say and what
game
we say.
Over.
Well, can,
yeah,
I,
game
can,
over
I say, can I say something, Frank?
Yeah,
like I said this before. There, like in Calgary, it's owned by the University of Calgary, right where the lease off. Right?
Yeah.
So Calgary's not going to see a new stadium, and God, who knows? I might be dead by that time comes. But nobody's sticking up for nobody. Nobody's saying nothing. No fans. No nothing. They're just happy with what they have. And it's to me.
And they have to be.
I know they have to be, but I don't agree with it. But but if more people stick up for what they believe in, and
is the stadium that you have in Calgary that bad? I'm asking you.
Well,
your opinion.
It's
is
not
the
that
stadium
good.
In Calgary?
Well, I haven't been there for a year because I live in Edmonton now. But it's they just keep on upgrading little bits here and there and stuff like that, and it's not. It's not getting anywhere, but getting older.
You do realize
by
that
the
in the United States, they give millions and 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 billions and billions and billions to corporate interests that own sports franchises on a regular basis. You do realize that, right?
Yes.
We're not willing to do it, and I'm glad.
You realize,
in Canada,
Frank,
I'm glad.
Frank, have you ever been to McMahon Stadium?
No, I have not.
Okay, where it's located basically is on the outer core of downtown Calgary. If they did make a new stadium, there's no room in Calgary to make it. They'd have to demolish McMahon Stadium just to put up a new stadium.
Well, couldn't they
there's nowhere to put
other,
it.
Couldn't they, this is only a question, and it's not based on any fact or knowledge, but could they not, build basically the new stadium in the parking lot and build a temporary parking lot elsewhere?
The parking lot's not that big, Frank.
No, you know what I'm saying.
Here's the biggest problem that I have with all of this is to building stadiums in the downtown core is stupid.
Yeah, I know.
I agree. BC Places in the downtown core, and the majority of the fans, especially in football, come from the suburbs. They're blue-collared workers that can't afford to live downtown, and they come from the suburbs. Why don't we put the bloody stadiums out where the people are?
But what about transit?
But
there has to be accessibility.
You can't please everybody, though. That's the problem.
Well, that's why
but
I like
my
this
point
guy,
is
you get on the GO train, which is Go Ontario. You get on the GO train, you drink all the beer you want, you don't drive, you don't kill anyone, and you go back home and your wife picks you up. That's the deal that I got going on, and I love it. I think it's great.
Yes, okay,
you
in Calgary, I don't
wrong
know if you guys
with it being in Toronto.
I don't know if you guys know where Airdrie is, just outside of Calgary. I lived there for 4 years. It's a city about 40,000 people. Somewhere out there, but then you would pee off the people from the south because it's so
much
further to drive.
Exactly. As soon as you start drawing a circle around the city, pick any spot in that circle, there's going to be somebody in that circle on the other side of the circle that's not going to be happy.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think downtown's a bad idea, but what it is, you know, I think what it comes down to is stop with the pipe dreams. Is the stadium facility itself, the facility itself in Calgary, is it an enjoyable experience to go to the Calgary Stadium and watch their football team play, regardless of win or lose? Is the experience, are the facility, like, for me, like, I'm a very simple-minded guy. I construction all my life. I help build stadiums like this, a little bit. I have a little bit of experience in it.
What I can tell you is that
no one's ever happy with anything that's built.
You're not going to make everybody happy.
I mean, after you're done, you know, Storm, that there's always people who criticize that you should have done it this way, that way, and the other way. They turn the freaking thing upside down, sideways, inside out, and determine that it isn't perfect. Great.
Yep.
Thank you very much for determining that. As yet, I have found nothing that a human is involved in that's perfect. You know, so is it viable is the real question. Is it viable? Does it work?
I go no matter what, okay? I go no matter what when I have a chance.
You have to wait 20 minutes
does
to pee?
Does it need
Do
to be
have
upgraded?
To wait 20 minutes to pee? Do you have to wait 20
Absolutely.
Minutes
Absolutely.
Need.
But the thing is, you've got to understand how old that stadium is, though. Like, it's deteriorating, and the seats
You do realize we have a couple of models in the CFL that aren't necessarily start from the ground up brand new. We have in Montreal, they revamped the stadium, and it seems to work, you know, the McGill, you know, version. In BC Place, where Christopher is, that thing was a total... No, I shouldn't say that. I'll let Christopher say whether, you know, was it a total disaster before they did the renovation? I don't know. But they made a
Absolutely
lot of improvement.
Absolutely not.
But they made
Absolutely
a lot of
not.
Improvement.
It was a
did
wonderful stadium. There was nothing the matter with it. There was no bad experiences anywhere in there. What they did to it is made it world class.
There you go. So they made an improvement.
It was for the Olympics.
And I'll say one thing on this. I'll say one thing on this, guys, girls, who's ever listening. Calgary, to me, in my opinion, has gotten one of the worst stadiums in the league, period.
Well, and therein lies the problem. If you think that, it may be true.
But I still go, though, when I have a chance, though. It don't matter that way. But I'm talking about, you know, these part-time fans or whatever,
Could it be much better?
You know, they just come to the game because because it's the playoffs or whatever. You're not diehard, so get away from
it. Fair weather fans.
But Storm, why should the stadium be a home away from home? It's only supposed to be a place where you go to enjoy a sporting event, put up with the facilities. You know, I mean, Ottawa was a grand
because everybody's
success.
Getting new and Calgary's not.
Yeah, but that's
like
just childish keeping up with the Joneses.
Well, no, it's not childish. It's the truth.
You can't keep up with me. I've got PC Place.
Oh, shut up, Christopher.
You can't keep up with the Joneses.
You have to be there, Frank, to experience it, though. You really do. I mean, I don't worry about the facilities like you were saying. I'm there to watch a frickin' football game, plain and simple.
Right.
But,
that's my point.
If I have to piss in a cup, it's okay, you know. Let's
nah, that ain't okay.
I know,
no,
I know but
okay.
You know what? It's just maybe I'm jealous because all these other teams are getting new stadiums, maybe. I don't know.
You'll get your turn. You
will
get your turn.
When I'm 96
you're just going to have to listen. Listen, dude.
It'll happen.
You got to be patient. You know what? Money doesn't grow on trees. Our governments are I prefer the way we do things here in Canada as opposed to the United States, where they
Absolutely.
Where they grovel to corporations that have teams and give them they give them their left testicle, for God's sakes. If I can make it any more personal than that, I would, but that's as personal as I can make it. They literally give their left testicle to basically support a corporation so that a corporation that owns a franchise, a football team, a hockey team, a basketball team, so that they can have a stadium that they want. Not the one they need, but the one they want. And I think you have described it 100% clearly, is that it's an experience you'll go regardless. And all I care about is that are there health concerns? No, good. Are there concerns with me being able to get beer within a reasonable amount of time, which in some people's minds might be more important than health.
Only during the Grey Cup, maybe.
Right? Do I get it quick enough? You know, come on. It's just a sporting event. What's important, my friends, and I say this only from my selfish perspective. When I went to the game this weekend, what mattered to me is what happened between the white lines. That's what really mattered to me. And as long as I'm safe and not starving or thirsty, I'm okay.
Sorry you're disappointed.
Hmm?
I said, I'm sorry you were disappointed then.
I wasn't. The beer service.
Well, you said what mattered
pathetic.
Between the white lines.
Yeah, and I was disappointed. But I wasn't disappointed because of what happened in reaction to what happened, inside the white lines.
I do.
It was an experience to remember, an experience to never forget. And I feel fortunate and lucky. Thank you, Serge, once again, Duvlitien. I thank you for providing me with a ticket so that I could go to Ottawa to see the first game back in the CFL, which brings us back again to Ottawa. And we still haven't talked about the other three games. And we're going to have to take another break.
Do the American ones. I like the American ones.
You want me to do the American one? Okay, hang on. I got to
do the American ones. They're good. I like them.
I love those. We'll do both of them. So that'll give us 3 minutes. So this will give you an opportunity to go stand in line for a beer, and then once you're done with that, go stand in line to use the potty.
Oh, that was Schmidt.
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
Hopefully there's aspirin on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch? Injuries?
I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent out there, huh?
CFL. We play by our own rules. Why do you think it takes you guys 4 downs to get 10 yards? We only need 3 up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, you know, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
They give us one just in case.
I love 4 downs. First down, second down, third down, fourth down.
You're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I'd say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, that would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh, can I take him home? I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
Wow.
A
whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little. CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
Yes, go Canada. Go Canada. So I went to use the washroom here at home, and apparently there was a line. Time to buy a new house. Because that's basically what we're talking about, right? I mean, you have to wait in line in your home. It's time to buy a new home. let's talk about the other games because we only have 42.
You're in a house with four women.
Yeah, well.
When do you get the washroom?
Oh, God, I'm hearing the woman. I'm with five women, buddy. I have four daughters and a wife, and we're still married. So, you know, I have people who no, don't feel sorry for me. Just understand this, is that I have people that look at me and go, on one hand, they say, how come you're so sane? And I say to them, I'm not. And then I have people say, how come you're so crazy? And I tell them why. And then, of course, there's the final experience, which is Frank, calm down. It really isn't that bad. So basically, I run the gamut in my own little world. And I'm grateful and thankful for the family that I have. Because those are the priorities, my friend, my friends out there who are listening, the 8 or 10 of you that are listening to the program right now. What really matters is take a look around where you are, and the people who actually care about you, they're the ones that matter. I have friends here that I'm grateful for, Christopher Jones and, of course, Mr. Schmidt. And the others, Bruce John Inch, who's listening gleefully but also watching the Dome at the same time. I thank you for your support. And I always consider myself lucky. It is not about the amount. It is about the quality. So, and if people can't understand one very important issue about me, and it is this, is that everyone has a voice. If your voice cannot be heard because others aren't heard, shame on you. It's all about individuality and being who you are. And being an individual and an individual fan of the CFL, I have to say that I didn't get a chance to really be enthusiastic about what happened this week because, quite frankly, you're going to have to help me out because I didn't spend much time watching football because I was on a campsite, and guess what? There's no cable on campsites. So I'm gonna rely on you fellas, the both of you, for tonight. It is just the two of you. I will be able to notify people of the scores of the games. As we talked earlier, the Toronto Argonauts lost 18-17 to the Ottawa Redblacks in their first game in their beautiful spanking brand new stadium, 18-17 on the strength of 6 field goals by Mahar, and not an area touchdown scored, and they won the game. Congratulations to the Red Blacks. We'll move on now to the Edmonton Eskimos, who demolished the Blue Bombers 26-3. Christopher, you said I think was it you that said they kind of it kind of hit reality at Winnipeg.
Winnipeg hit reality, and that's the way I look at it. I mean, they were both 3-0 teams coming into this game, and Winnipeg was playing higher than their abilities. And they were on a roll, and they were on a high, and they were enjoying it while they were going. Reminds me a lot of the Swaggerville guys back in 2011. Edmonton, and again and again and again, I'll say that they were the best 4-14 team the CFL's ever seen last year. They needed one or two pieces and some guidance, and they were going to be a dominant force in the Western Division. And they got one or two pieces, and they have some guidance. So they are going to be a force. They are going to be reckoned with in this Western Division. Winnipeg, they're gone about as far as they're going to be going. And they got slapped down and reached some reality, and now everybody's going to they're beatable. And they're beatable in a big way. And that's my opinion. They just didn't come together and play as a team. And I think that opened up a seam that everyone else got to see.
And you know what? And it also means very little, Christopher, because BC didn't look good in the first couple of weeks. But then
that was training camp.
I get that. But I think we're at the point right now where Chris Jones is showing that he has his team ready to play. And you and I both know, I mean, you're not alone in this. I was ridiculed last year when I kept supporting the fact and kept saying from before the season started that Edmonton would be a team that will show the most improvement through the season. And unfortunately for them,
they did.
Their GM had a brain cramp and really stifled whatever growth they could have had at the end of last year. And I think Chris Jones is profiting from that mistake that the GM made. And now he's very quiet. You don't even know who the GM is of Edmonton anymore. And that game, was it a 26-3 game, or was it one of those games where Edmonton just took advantage?
It could have been 86-3. Yeah.
How do you feel?
Well, I told you from the beginning of the season, Winnipeg is not what they're out to meant to be, and I give Edmonton credit, and you won't hear me say that much, but about Edmonton about that. But you got to give them credit. I mean, they played good. Riley, if he keeps on doing what he's doing, he's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. That guy.
Yeah, but he's proven with far. I assume. And Christopher, is he getting more protection now? Did he get more protection against
yes.
Winnipeg?
Yes, a lot more.
And
but
so
he's still playing his game. Yeah, but
he's still getting
hit downfield, though, and those things take the toll, right?
No,
I agree with you. He's not going to stop playing his game the way that he is any more than Buck Pearce, Dave Dickinson, or anybody else stop playing their game. Matt Dunnigan is another one. They all play their game, and Mike Riley is torn from the same rag. Okay? You're not going to
you
stop him from getting
And you know what? He's not getting beat as much. He's not getting as beaten as much as he was last year. Fair?
Last year was
Would you at least agree with that, Schmidt? Hey, buddy, would you agree with that?
Yeah,
I agree with that,
but
he's not getting sacked as much.
I agree.
You know, he's hooks. I'm assuming that he's hook sliding a little more.
Nope.
He is.
No.
He is.
Not
yes.
the last game he wasn't.
He
was run through the guy.
A couple times
I watched every single game, every minute of every game last weekend.
No, these are questions. Your answers are valid regardless of whether you two agree. You're entitled to your opinions.
No, I'm just saying the last game.
I'm asking because I
didn't
get a chance
hook
to watch the
much.
Game.
You're right, Schmidt, the last game he didn't. But the previous games this season, the first 3 weeks, he was playing a more cautious style of football. And I think
he needs to. And which he needs to do.
Yeah.
I agree with Frank, though. The coaches want him to be more safer, but he wants to play his game, and that's who he is. Just like
that's
us.
Who he is.
For whoever we want, we do what we want.
But
he wants to do what he wants.
Last year, how many games did he miss due to injury?
I couldn't
Zero.
Tell you off.
Zero. He came out, he had a concussion, and he came out through a pass and then went out with a concussion and played the next game. You know, this guy right now, he's durable, okay? And it's his style, as Christopher is saying. Again, I'm not basing this on anything that happened this week because I didn't get to see the game. The campfire had my attention. But it sounds to me like he isn't under the same kind of physical threat that he was last year. And he did a pretty good job of surviving a lot of physical abuse, baby.
Oh my God, that's why quarterbacks couldn't handle those hits.
And that's why we love him so much, right? Can we agree that we love him because he is that kind of guy? Because he's that kind of guy.
I don't love him because I haven't met him.
Well, you don't love him because he wears EE on his helmet.
I haven't met him either, Storm, but I am a Mike Riley fan. I have been for several years. I've watched him play in BC. I love his style of play. I love Buck Pearce. I love Dave Dickinson, and I love Matt Dunnigan. So, you know, Mike Riley is right in there with those guys. That's his style of play. And absolutely, I'm a Mike Riley fan. I don't care what team he plays
on. He's not going to change either, right? So
just
don't
go to the Riders.
Yeah. There it is. You just said it yourself. He's not.
I agreed with you before,
change.
Though.
He's not going to change,
before, though.
But he needs, I agree with you too. You don't have to agree with me. That's not going to get you brownie points. What's going to get you brownie points
is
whatever
points.
You think. All that matters is what you think.
What I'm going to say
is that the fact remains that he has a coach now who's going to tell him, look, dude, I need you around November. I want you to be around in November.
No, I understand.
Don't shoot your bolt. You know what I mean? Don't fire your bolt in week four.
I disagree with you, and I think that the simple thing is if Chris Jones has said to him, I want you around in November, you're going to have to change your style of play, he would look Chris Jones in the eye and say, if I'm going to be around in November, you get me some protection.
Right. Modify your style of play. And by modifying your style of play, they're not going to modify
Mike Riley's style of play. It's not going to happen.
You can with a decent front line, you can.
But, Frank, he didn't do that last game. He was just up to his old trick last year.
Where Christopher and I appear to be disagreeing is that I'm saying that he needs to not put himself in harm's way. Christopher's saying he can't help himself but put himself in harm's
exactly.
way.
I sort of agree with you both, though. So
yeah, and I agree with both of us, too. And I agree with both of us, too.
He needs to help protect himself a little better.
Yes, but
yeah,
still, Christopher, you're 100% right in what you said, and that is it's up to Chris Jones, not Christopher Jones.
To protect him.
To protect him. It's up to him.
To protect him.
Right?
Yeah.
It's
so
up
start
to him
changing your,
to work with
your
what
offensive
he has.
Strategy to do that. I mean, look at what George Cortez did for Darian Durant, okay? Darian Durant is a mediocre quarterback. And
stop
George
that.
Cortez
stop
and
that.
Or Kahari, just let me finish,
that's
okay? Kahari Jones went in there, and they played to his weaknesses. They played away from his weaknesses and played for his strength, and they got a Grey Cup out of it because Darian Durant last year played a hell of a year of football. And why? Because the team supported him in the way that his style of play.
Exactly.
Prior to that, they weren't supporting his
right.
style of play.
Darian Durant is
okay.
X, and the coaches have yeah. to determine. Once you know, the thing about the CFL, and can we agree on this, is that the reason why Burris beat Ray this week is because Burris had a better supporting cast than Ray.
Yeah, I agree with you because I don't agree with the protection that Ray's getting.
And is it good?
Like
is the protection he's getting good?
It wasn't good enough.
Ray?
Yeah.
No, Ray's protection is
okay.
not good at all.
Again, you're agreeing that the supporting cast around Ray, the point that Christopher's making, the point that I agree with
I
what Christopher is saying, is that a CFL GM and coach have to decide who will be the quarterback that they throw their support behind. And then they need to build a team that helps that quarterback look the best he can be. And his example, Christopher, I'm sorry, I'm talking to you like you're not even here, but you are here. The point is that Darian Durant is nothing without the support around him. Ricky Ray is nothing without the support around him. Henry Burris is nothing without the support around him. That's not to say that they have nothing to offer. It just means that you know what you need to do. Get her done.
Yeah.
Well, they have all
get her done or get replaced.
Right. Get her done or get replaced. Or, you know, that's the way it is, baby. Like, the CFL is such a simple game. You know, if you have a good quarterback, you can make him a great quarterback with the people that you surround him with.
Exactly.
And that includes the whole team, not just offense.
But that's what I'm saying.
I know.
Yeah,
you know,
no, Frank, 100% agreed. I mean,
it doesn't
you can take a mediocre quarterback and make him a champion.
You can. Well,
yes.
Not mediocre. See, that's where I disagree with you, Christopher. I think the way I will say it is that a potentially great quarterback cannot be great without a supporting cast which helps to bring out his greatness. And that would be a Darian Durant. That would be a Ricky Ray. That would be a Henry Burris. That would be even, I would even reach down to the quarterback that you have in BC right now temporarily. You know. Yeah. You know, Willie, great quarterback. What happened to him this week? He didn't, 3 points? Not a very good showing.
I disagree with you saying he's a great quarterback, though.
So do
I.
I understand. I understand what you're saying. But, you know,
I said that since day one, though. So
Darian Durant won a Grey Cup. That's what makes him great. Drew Willey wins a Grey Cup. He will be – well, okay. We can disagree about that. He's a champion. And you know what? You know what? As long as he's the quarterback and the team – the team wins the Grey Cup – He gets the credit for being the great quarterback. He gets the credit for being the quarterback that won the Grey Cup. As much as
of course he does.
Ricky Ray
he
did.
He got more credit than Corey Sheets.
Yeah, and he shouldn't have.
Well, and that's another debate. That's another debate for another day. So
we got more teams running out of time.
Yeah, we are. We're totally running. We're blabbermouths.
An hour and a half, and we haven't gone through two games yet.
Terrible.
Frank, you've been on too many tangents today.
Good thing there's not too many people online,
nothing.
Eh?
This will be the show about nothing. I tell you all the time. It is the show nothing. So Edmonton defeats Winnipeg. Congratulations to Chris Jones, our former defensive coach here in Toronto. And a great job done. The Hamilton Tiger Cats lost to Calgary. Oh, God. You know?
No surprise.
Mazzoli, was he any good? Help me out here, guys.
Not really,
I'll be watching the game tomorrow. I haven't had a chance to watch it because I just drove back from Ottawa.
It was an embarrassment. It really was. I mean, Calgary didn't even show up to play, and they beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Calgary went on vacation. Half the team was in Mexico. I don't know where they were. They were
you know what?
Football.
All it took is to look at the scoreboard. 10-7? That's a CFL game? That's an NFL game. That's not a CFL.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a hockey game, isn't it?
But you know what? You got to give – you know what? I mean, I give Johnny 1 inch their credit for their defense because after that comment he said to me on Facebook. But anyways, that's a different story in itself. But anyways – what I give credit I give credit to Calgary's defense and Hamilton's defense because I'm not, you know, two-faced or whatever sort of thing. So, but you got to understand, Calgary has given up one touchdown in three games. So you got to give them credit for all their injuries too.
They played the Argos, they played the Ticats, and who did they play before that?
Montreal, and they scored a touchdown in the last play of the game.
How many touchdowns did Montreal get against BC? I think the number is
none.
Zero.
None.
Exactly. So
no, but I'm just saying for the first three games of Calgary.
You and the rest of the Calgary fans shouldn't be bragging too hard because the Argos, with the injuries that they've had, the Ticats with the injuries that they had, and Montreal, who have been questionable at best this season by virtue of the sum and the total of their efforts this year, I don't think Calgary should be bragging too loud. But then again, you know,
Calgary doesn't
Calgary's
brag,
the reason
though.
Why they haven't had a great year. Argos, Ticats, Alouettes. You know, Calgary has a defense that's worth considering as probably, I would have to suggest, the best in the league.
30 points against in three games.
Absolutely. Cannot deny that. You have a great defense there, my friend.
And what it comes down, well, it should have been only, 23, but they scored in the last play of the game in the Montreal game. But anyways, Schmidt happens. But the thing is, too, is I'm worried about this Thursday's game against Edmonton.
No!
Of course I am. I am worried about Calgary playing this week because they got so many frickin' injuries.
But every team has injuries right now. Every team has a lot of injuries.
Calgary's got a lot. Corners is out again.
We don't have our quarterback.
Corners is out again.
Hey, Lou, I wasn't paying – hey, guys, we got another person. I wasn't paying – Lou, I apologize. LOU.SKUNT.
What?
18. I don't want to say it.
What are you talking about?
Dude, what's up? I got a guy. What?
Hello.
Okay, I can tell by your name we're gonna get a rude awakening. So Lou, what's up, buddy?
Who's this?
I'm Frank. In here is Mr. Schmidt, and also Mr. Christopher Jones, and this is Lou Skunt. 18.
Yeah.
You be careful with that one.
I'm trying as hard as I can to be careful.
Don't you swear for
Manasse coming at us?
No, probably again.
I don't think Manasse would put this name up. Who are we talking to? Luke?
My name's Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns? Okay, you're trying to be a comedian, and do you have anything valid to say? Otherwise, you know, we'll just put you back on listen.
You stink!
I stink?
Oh, yeah?
I stink? So the reason you came on the program is so that you could say, we called the show. Well, I called the show, and you can tell your friends, I called the show and spoke to Frank, and I was very rude, and I invented a rude name. So that I could tell my friends that I was rude to Frank, and now I am a hero. Is that what you're trying to attempt here.
Let's get some applesauce out here for these pork chops.
That's Manasseh. It's got to be.
No, that's not Manasseh. I know who it is, but I'm not going to say who it is because I have too much respect for the group that I'm a part of. I'll just turn off the mic.
Yours?
Yeah, I have too much respect for the group I'm a part of to say who that is. I know who it is. And I will later let him know that his defense of his leader will be castigated. Having said all that, the important issue here is that we have fun watching the CFL. And as much as we want to criticize the fact that Calgary did not score that much, they did a marvelous job of defending, and I think that's something that deserves all kidding aside, Mr. Schmidt, they did a great job defending. Yeah, but you know what? You got to say they did. Until they don't, you got to say they did, Christopher. You have to be nice to Calgary.
They've got great defense, don't get me wrong, but Hamilton didn't put up any offense.
Well,
yeah,
listen,
but Hamilton
in defense
had a good
of
defense
Bruce Johnnich and the rest of the Hamilton fans, I think, who had a year last year that started off much like this year, it improved steadily throughout the season. But this may be the year where the opposition drops to their level more than they rise above the opposition.
Did you notice the standings of the two Grey Cup teams?
I don't even want to think about it. They're both at the bottom of the heap.
They are.
You know? Like,
at least Saskatchewan's won a game.
I got to tell you, I'm a CFL first and foremost, and I draw a lot of ire from my group of Argo fans, or at least some, because I, quite frankly, love the CFL as a whole as much as I love the Toronto Argonauts as an individual team. And I am totally amazed at how poorly Saskatchewan and Hamilton, you know, Saskatchewan didn't play this week. I think if you're a Saskatchewan fan, that's a good thing that they didn't play this week.
Hang on a second, Frank. Saskatchewan, their team got raped this year.
Easy.
Okay. For everything that everybody said, you know, they did lose 21 players. So, you know, they did... There was a big turnaround, manpower turnover in Saskatchewan. I called a long time ago that they weren't going to make the playoffs. I'm not going to do anything. I still think they have a good core in there and that there's something that's going to happen there. So I'm not dissing Saskatchewan on this in any stretch of the means. But Hamilton had a decent team last year, and they did nothing but build and build and build on it. They signed every free agent that was available. They did everything they could to build a better team, and they stink.
Yeah, but that's they have had the misfortune
of
having injuries. Yeah, well, right now, you know, and I'm not saying
it's going to be that way for the end of
Bruce John Inch.
It's going to be that way to the end of the year.
Nah,
they're not gonna,
you're dreaming. You know, here's the prediction I'm making this year.
You'd be lucky
I'm making
if they
it
win
now.
Three games this year, Frank.
Storm, I'm making this prediction early. The winner of the Grey Cup will be an Eastern Division team this year.
I'm telling you.
Okay, laugh at me all you want, but I'm predicting
that's your opinion.
Win the Grey Cup this year. They will go into BC and they will win the Grey Cup. And why will they win? Because they have no business doing so. That's why they're going to win. They
and
will be the underdog.
That happens,
and they will win. Schmidt happens,
well,
baby.
Yep,
I called Hamilton winning the Grey Cup this year against BC and BC. I did that. And you know what? Right now I'm embarrassed by that.
Yeah, but, you know, remember, what week are we in?
We're in week four.
Right. And we need, 20 weeks to arrive at 18 games?
We do. What?
No, we're,
like
in week,
we
we're in week five coming up.
What I'm saying is we need about 16 weeks
of football left.
Yeah. And in that season, I think everybody's going to miss 2 weeks or something like that, right?
Yeah,
two buys per team.
Right? There you go. So you know, we got to week 20 before we start really concerning ourselves with, you know, how a team is playing. And we're in week five, coming up to week five. So we're at the quarter pole, if I can say that.
I'm sorry, I disagree with that. Does not have a direction, firm grasp on the direction in which they're going right now, and you're going into the second quarter, You got to get your stuff together.
And you know what?
And
they
we'll
will
see,
get their stuff.
We'll see what happens. We're going to see.
That's why I love about my Argo.
Here's what I'll start bring about my Argo team. The crossover rule applies this year.
Yeah, you
all
guys
I
done
care
right
about
now.
Is that they make themselves beyond reach of the crossover, which is going to be difficult this year because
the first place team is going to be crossed over.
Well,
Saskatchewan has a better record than the first place
team in the
East. I think
the term is, at this point in the season and the way the East is playing, stepped on with the proper term.
Well, they got to play each other, right?
You could put the Eastern Division underneath the Western Division and they'd fit.
Good golly. They're totally pathetic. The Eastern Division this year is pathetic. At this point,
when was the last time we've seen this, Frank, this early?
Last year.
No, with the East being this pathetic towards
I'm
the West.
Kidding.
Come on,
50
minutes.
Been a long
we've got
time.
Another couple of games to talk about.
Exactly. What other games we've got to talk about?
We're not done with Calgary yet.
Listen, we talked about Calgary. We talked about all the games that happened this week. There are no other games. What other games are there? Oh, you're talking about the fiasco in BC against the Montreal Alouettes.
The beatdown.
Or as they say in Russia, the Alouettes. They did not show up. I think the Alouettes stayed in Montreal, and they probably sent their training staff to play the game because that was a pathetic embarrassment.
Here's the kicker. You know, it's one thing for the media to be talking bad about the Montreal Alouettes, but it's another thing for that talk to be coming out of the locker room. Troy Smith has lost that team. He never had the team.
He never had the team. They took that team away from him by virtue of how they dictated he should play.
He shouldn't have been lasted that long in that game in the first place.
With what's going on in the locker room over the last six weeks back into training camp, and their team will not support that man. It is time to move on.
I don't support him.
Well, that's why Marsh is there.
I think he's an awesome quarterback.
I think
he could do wonderful things in Montreal. But his arrogance is getting the better part of him, just like Casey Printers did.
Exactly.
And he is not going to get support from that team. And it's not going to happen. The sooner they get Tanner Marsh up to speed in Montreal, the better off they're going to be.
Do they release him, or do they just – because they're not going to be able – with that ego, they're not able – they won't be able to put him as a – they're going to have to basically jettison
him. Release him.
The teams want him.
Release him.
They're going to have to jettison him. Well, who needs him? Hamilton.
Nobody.
Hamilton.
Yeah. Hamilton.
But Hamilton has a coach who doesn't believe in a passer that should throw on the run. They want a pocket passer.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, are the Argos going to set aside Ricky Ray to bring Smith in? No, don't think so.
No.
Hamilton, we discussed. Ottawa, I think they're pretty happy with Burris. I think they're happy with Burris. What do you think?
Of course they are.
That might happen with Ottawa. I don't think this year, but it might happen
next
year.
Not this week, though. Not this week.
No,
I'm saying next year, maybe.
No.
Maybe.
Winnipeg might take a gamble.
No,
Winnipeg
they're happy with Willie. They won't take a flyer on him. They're happy with Willie.
You know what? You give Willie another 2 weeks, and you ask me whether or not they're still happy.
Okay. I think you're jumping off the bus a little too early on Willie. I think Willie's a good quarterback, and I think he'll be fine. If anyone expected him to come in and win every game, I don't know. That's a little high expectation as far as I'm concerned. In the Western Division, Durant, Smith, no. It ain't going to happen. They're happy with Durant. They're going to keep Durant. He won a great cup for them. BC.
Oh, yeah.
BC is more
Once
you say no in BC, there's no one in the West that's going to take Smith. So Smith is going
Smith
to indoor football. Smith's going
the
to indoor
way,
football.
The only way that the only way BC will take Smith is if Lule retires.
They're not going to take Smith for the simple fact they will not bring a cancer into the locker room. Wally will not do that.
But, you know, Kevin Glenn's running out of time, and Lule has so many injuries and stuff like that, so it might be an idea.
Well, again, Christopher, all he's saying is that if you look in the landscape of the CFL, his best bet is BC, Vancouver.
No,
and that's not a very good
bet.
It's not a very good bet at all. Where is there a better bet than BC for Smith?
Winnipeg.
Hamilton.
Okay. So we agree to
Besides
disagree.
Besides Hamilton, that's about
I
it.
I say Willie's safe. You say Glenn is safe. And let's just leave it at that. We have a mere, I can't believe it, we're down to 10 minutes left in the program. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something. We're just not sure what it is.
Let's
it's not like we're planning
anything.
We're
going to talk about how awesome BC
let's
was.
Talk about the refs.
Well, I'm not sure I want to talk about how wonderful BC was, because that makes you happy, which doesn't make me happy.
No, 41-5 made me happy.
Let's talk about the refs.
We're not going to talk about the refs.
That's almost as bad as talking about BC being so wonderful. We'll take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argos Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. 1, 2, 3. We're the Argos Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. Yay!
The lines of scrimmage in the Canadian game are a yard apart rather than on the tips of the ball. How do you think that would affect play?
Hey, you know, the difference is, hey, NFL, we're like this, right?
Right.
Right here, you're going inside, boy, you're going to get it.
Right.
You're going
right.
outside, I'm going with you, right?
Right.
Okay. But in ball, now I got to square up. I got to square up and look at you, right? And when you start to make a move, then I'm going to turn my hips, all right? You're going to go, I'm going to go. Go, 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 go. There you go. Get out of there. You got it. That's football, Canadian style.
How you doing today, sir? Right on. You think the NFL going to three downs is a good idea? You like a 20-second play clock? No fair catch rule up there. A lot more scoring. CFL. Thanks a lot. Not getting much out of this guy. CFL. That's where the action is.
It's all about being Canadian, you know? I met Clemens one night, pinball, and there was about 10 of us, and he remembered everybody's name when he left. He said, Chris, see you later. Mark, see you later. Tim, see you later. And he remembered everybody's name. I was so taken back by that. I was like, you know, here's a person that doesn't have to know who you are, but chooses to because he knows, you know, you're important. It's about being a person. It's what you can do with it, not what you can get out of it. And I think that's good. That's what I like about the CFL.
That's what I like about the CFL. These nacho chips are jalapeno. They're hot.
I knew you were eating. I knew it.
Oh, my cat's talking to me, too. What? What's the matter? What's the matter? What?
You talking to your cat?
What?
Oh,
say
God,
something.
It's a CFL show. It's not a cat show.
Say something.
It is if you're in Hamilton.
Okay. My cat wants my attention. She keeps forgetting that she doesn't get my attention until midnight. Then she gets my attention. She doesn't get my attention until midnight. I'm coming. Relax. She's sitting here looking at me like, where's my love?
Well,
not because we went away.
She wants your food. She wants your nachos. Hello.
No, she wants. Oh, I don't doubt that she wants my nachos. all right, so... We're down to the last couple of minutes here.
I want to give the BC game by the numbers here, Frank. Will you let me play this for
please.
A second here?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll just
Emmanuel Arsenault, 3 touchdowns. Jason Araki had his 141st special teams tackle. Kevin Glenn went over 40,000 yards passing in his career.
Oh, I thought
Kevin
that one
Glenn
game.
Hit his 39th over 300-yard passing game. In his career. John Beck, 2 touchdown passes. Travis Partridge, his first touchdown pass. And Alex Bravey got his first pro sack. That's what happened in that one game for the BC Lions. A lot of milestones fell.
I don't hear any cheers.
The thing about Jason Araki is now he's the leading all-time BC all-time tackler. He passed Sean Millington.
That's important. Sean Millington
that's
is a great.
That's what the 141 was. Yeah, Sean Millington, the Diesel, was an awesome player. And Jason passed him in all special teams tackles. So it was a great game. I mean, the BC Lions were pumping on all cylinders.
Oh, it was
so
great.
Is this
like,
continue?
If I was a BC fan, or I mean, if I was a Stamps, okay, I'm a Stamps fan. If that was the score against Edmonton or any team, I'd be happier than Pig Schmidt. I mean, I would, because I love to see offense and I love to see defense at the same time.
And the special teams. We played three games.
And special teams, yes. And I like. I don't like how Paredes has started off the season. That's kind of worrying me a little bit. He's getting a little bit nervous, but I'm not overly too worried about him. But I just love the John Hofstetter. He'll get Calgary motivated for Thursday's game. Plain and simple.
You think?
Yeah. Either you're in or you're out, or in my way.
We had two players
over 300 yards.
Pardon?
We had two players combined had over 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Harris and Stefan Logan. The two of them, our two backs together, had over 300 yards.
Well, I agree with you, CJ, but you got to understand one thing, though, is you got to look at the team they're playing, too.
I do. Look at the team that you guys played, and you only put up 10 points.
Yeah,
you
I know,
Hamilton.
But that's, and you know, like
okay.
Sometimes you just win by, you know, just by the skinnier, yeah.
Well, that's not,
of
that,
your chinny
that,
chin
that
chin.
Does not show the character of a team.
Yeah, chinny
that
chin chin.
Show the
I wasn't
going to
say
team.
That, but.
But that's
well,
okay.
See,
you know,
what
like games like that happen,
BC's
right?
In Winnipeg, and if Winnipeg brings the game that they had against Edmonton, it's going to be another embarrassing game for Winnipeg.
You do realize that tonight's not the night we talk about the next game. We only talk about what happened last week. Would you stop whining? I'll be with you in a minute.
Frank, take your...
Did you whine again? Defend your
cat.
Oh, God. Can you hear her?
Go to your room.
Did you hear her? She's totally freaking out because I'm not paying attention to her. It's not midnight yet.
3 minutes.
It's not midnight.
How are we going to wrap this up?
How? In a bow?
On what?
We're going to wrap it up in a bow.
Put it under the tree.
And suggest that come Wednesday, we're going to talk about what's happening next week. And also I have to mention that we're going to be having a network hour starting maybe this week, maybe next week. I have to talk to Jason. Rouge Radio has asked to continue, to restart their they're using the program here to broadcast on their network, of which I'm very proud and happy to. Yeah, of which I'm very proud and happy to. Jason's a great. He you'll be glad to know that he's an Edmonton fan who moved to BC. So
right.
Now he finds himself.
Rouge Radio is not on Blog Talk. You are.
No, I'm on Blog Talk.
Right.
And then
right.
Now Rouge Radio
are you
is,
broadcasting his show, or is he broadcasting your show?
He's broadcasting this show, the one that we'll be doing.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. You know, he's just going to – we're going to go to more viewers, more listeners, whatever. Yeah, he has a great following, and I'm more than proud to once again hook up with him. And we'll discuss – there's going to be some changes. I try as hard as I can to give all of you an opportunity to control how the program progresses. We've made some changes with participants, and because of that, other participants have decided to yay or nay. Yeah, and I made a decision where I have basically the rule here is, and then I'll make this clear publicly, the rule here is that we all get to say what we want to say based on what we think and believe. Behind the scenes, no one has the right to either insult, attack, or be negative about the people who are on the program. In other words, I don't agree with people suggesting who should or should not be on the program just because they're part of the program. I believe that everyone has an opportunity to be on this program, whether you like them or not. They're on the program because they wish to be. If you choose not to be on the program because of people who are on this program or people like me who make decisions that are counter to what people want, too bad. Take a flying leap as far as I'm concerned. I'm a free speech guy, and I believe we all have a right to voice our opinion. And one thing I love is to do it publicly and honestly and straightforwardly. I'm not much of a person who agrees or likes people who like to do their talking when people aren't listening and or talk to people individually so that they can craft their comments accordingly. So, yeah, this program is a reality show. It truly is. It's the reality of being a CFL fan. And amongst all the CFL fans, there are many of us that make the full group. I am what I am. We are all what we are. And if you can't take people the way they are, then, you know, I think there's something wrong with you. Let the people who are listening decide. Let the people who are listening decide how important what the people who are on the program have to say is. That's all the best way I can explain my situation. So Jay Sperling has decided that he would like to rehook up with Candidate Frank Live, and the CFL is the best football in the world show. And I'm more than glad to spread the word that is the CFL, because, quite frankly, I love the CFL, and I love the idea that each and every one of you have an opinion, and I really do respect all your opinions. I can disagree, and I think Christopher knows that I disagree with some of the stuff he says, but he's big enough to say, you disagree with me, you son of a sea cook. Okay, I'll still talk to you.
No, just and back it up.
It's not just that, Christopher. It's that you don't give me any ultimatums, and I just don't like people who tell me that.
Nobody has a right to give you an ultimatum.
Well, I decide to separate myself from people who think they have a right to give ultimatums. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people in this world who are not brave enough to stand up for what's right and or their own opinion based on fact, not fiction. And fiction to me is something I abhor. And so thank you so much, Jay Sperling, for being willing to add us to your program or the power that you have to promote the show. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I hope, as always, that those of you that do listen to the program, listen to it because you really believe what we have to say is, A, not politically correct, but more or less what comes from the heart and our love of the CFL. And we don't have to love it the same way. We just have to love it. That's all. That's my only qualifier, is that you have to love the CFL if you call the show. And Louis, S-K-U-N-T, thank you for calling. I hope your friends are very happy with the call that you made. And I hope you're very proud of what you did. Because, quite frankly, if it's important enough to you to call this program, to make a point that is irrelevant, it makes this show that much more relevant. Thanks,
more
everybody,
special.
For tuning in, and of course, and special as well, as you have said. Mr. Schmidt, thank you for being on the program. Christopher, thank you for being on the program. And, of course, our friend in Ottawa, Bruce John Inch, who couldn't afford to buy a ticket, but did afford to buy a case of beer so he could watch the game, so that he could forget
about
what happened.
Because of the same price. I just want to say
one thing, Frank, before I let you go here.
Oh, please.
Is, you know what, since I joined your radio show, I look forward to it twice a week. It started off at three times a week, but because of the Friday football, blah, 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 I look forward to it twice a week. I really do. I really do.
I'm glad you do. And
everybody's got their own opinion, and as long as we get along, everything's great.
We don't have to get along. That's the point I'm trying to make.
We don't have to agree.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Thanks for doing this, bro.
You're welcome, my friend. Hey,
and I don't hate anybody.
You have a great one.
I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody.
Nobody hates anyone.
I'm out of here. Goodbye.
There's a few.
Not anyone that's
anyways, Frank, we'll talk to you on Wednesday, buddy.
Later, dude.
See you, Chris.
Yeah, later, guys. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Listen, your opinion is what matters. And if you think your opinion is dependent on what other people think, I don't want you on the program.